This is Sherry Bayer from All in the Industry. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Claudia Wu.
And I'm Carrie Diamond.
And we're the founders of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Today's show is brought to you by Ecole Chocolat, the online school for those looking to become chocolate makers or chocolate experts. The great thing is you can study at your own pace. So if you have a day job but dream about having your own chocolate company one day, you can make it happen. Be sure to check out the site at ecolechocolat.com.
Claudia, are your pockets filled with any dark chocolate today? Saw you snacking.
Yeah, I gave some to our guest well.
Don't give it away yet. She is. Claudia is sitting here in her hat, scarf, gloves, and coat.
Coat, yes.
Why are you so cold? It's not so cold in here.
It is.
It's freezing
the
outside.
The polar vortex is back.
Sadly. We were spoiled. We had a really good December and January and
January was
February.
Okay. February is turning out to be a cold one.
Not a lot of snow this winter.
No.
Well, we had the last winter.
No, we had the big one.
Oh, I forgot I was in the Bahamas.
Carrie missed out on the almost 30 inches of snow that we got.
Sorry about that.
But it melted, actually, a week later, so it was fine.
That's true. Sorry, not sorry. So anyway, when you hear the name Celestine Maddie, it sounds like a constellation, something luminous you might see in the night sky. But Celestine is a living, breathing person. She's an earthling who happens to care deeply about planet Earth. Celestine's awakening about the outdoors occurred in her 20s, after she moved in with her boyfriend, who happened to have a big backyard. I found a new kind of peace among my freshly planted hostas and toad lilies, she has written. I could exhale and be still. Celestine channeled her newfound love into an indie magazine called Wilder Quarterly, which launched in 2011. She has described her publication as a place to connect the dots between 21st century living and the slow pace of the great outdoors. As much as Celestine is a champion of fresh air and greenery, she's very much a cyber babe. She worked in digital advertising and today is the vice president of marketing for Reddit. If you're not familiar with Reddit, it's the ninth largest website in the United States and the birthplace of some of the most popular memes and themes online. We've asked Celestine to be our guest today because we love anyone crazy enough to do an indie magazine, right, Claudia? And also because the very first Wilder Quarterly book has just been released. It's called A Wilder Life, and it's a beautiful volume that features gardening advice, recipes, DIY projects, and more. Celestine Maddie, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you so much for having me. That is the nicest intro I've ever had, so thank you.
Happy to oblige. So where do we even start? Another indie magazine gal.
I know. Should we just commiserate for a while?
The hardest business ever, indie magazines, for
sure. It's hard, but it's rewarding in its own ways. But, you know, if you can make it work.
You should make it work.
Yeah.
It's very rewarding.
It is. It's there's the only business where repeatedly you get to create an entire world for people to explore. Mm-hmm. There's not many other businesses that you get to do that over and over and over again. And it just attracts so many interesting people. Like, I love magazines, as hard as they are. I will always love them.
I love magazines. I picked up a great one yesterday, in fact, at McNally Jackson, one of our favorite bookstores. I think it's called Riposte. Am I saying that right?
I like Riposte, too.
Really nice.
Yeah, I don't know if it's pronounced Riposte,
I know.
Actually.
How can I...
Well, it's nice anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we need to start running corrections. I feel like I've made a few bloopers.
And we don't do them in the magazine, so why start now?
We never make mistakes in the magazine.
No,
are you crazy?
Perfect every time. That's the other great thing about magazines. If you mess up once, you have a chance to do something else the next time.
It's iterative. You can keep doing it better and better each time.
Hopefully.
I'm surprised that there isn't a radio show just about magazines, actually. Is there one? There's so many. You could cover so many topics, so many things.
I think Monocle does one.
Oh. About indie magazines?
I think it's about... Huh. They probably do other topics, too, but they mentioned us in their indie magazine episode, which is the only one I've listened to.
That was nice of them. I like Monocle. I'm jealous that they have their own. Don't they have two coffee shops now?
They have a store.
They do. They have a store. They have a chain of stores. I mean,
and an agency, I think.
They do. They have an ad agency that sort of supports the whole business model.
And they have a whole radio station. They're not just one lousy podcast, right?
No, they've done it. They've done the thing. They've turned themselves into a little bit of a media retail empire.
Our engineer, Liz, is laughing. Liz, I didn't mean lousy podcast. You know what I meant. Our podcast is amazing. Amazing. Okay, anyway, so there's so many things we want to talk to you about.
Cool.
I don't even know where to start. But let's start with Wilder. So you started it in 2011.
Yeah.
What we talked about what the inspiration was, but there, it's one thing to love the outdoors. It's another thing to want to do a whole print magazine dedicated to it. So what made you take that leap?
Because I was a new gardener, I wanted to ingest as much media and information as I could because I had no idea what I was doing. And I went in search of magazines and podcasts and all sorts of stuff. And there just wasn't that much stuff that I could relate to. There were things for suburban gardeners. There were things for serious hobby farmers. But there wasn't anything just for someone who enjoyed the outdoors and was just getting started and that didn't talk about, you know, the intense nature of soil or something. I kind of just wanted to explore nature, not become a serious horticulturalist. And there wasn't a sweet spot there. So I decided, hey, I'll make the sweet spot.
Had you worked at magazines?
I did. I worked at High Times as the assistant publisher.
Oh.
It was a cool job for obvious reasons. I met Dave Chappelle. Very cool. I worked at Paper Magazine as a circulation director, and I think Kim and David were such an inspiration. I mean, we just talked about indie magazines. They have made that magazine work in lean times, in good times, like...
We all owe a debt of gratitude to those two because they really kind of paved the way for the rest of us.
Totally. And then I had my own magazine that failed. Who doesn't? Who doesn't have a failed magazine in their back pocket?
I don't know if I knew this.
What
was it called?
Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah. It was called Mastermind. And I thought to myself that I don't even know what I thought. I was like 23. And I was going to make this awesome magazine, and I made it with a guy I was dating. Wah, wah, wah. But, so I've spent some time in magazines. I love them. They're one of my favorite things. I love yours.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's such a good one.
We love yours. So 2011, that was a little bit before the great indie magazine boom of
right.
2013.
Right.
So...
When did this it was a boom?
I just made that up.
No, but it's the thing. Like, you know how it's cyclical. Like,
right.
Magazines right now are in a boom, I feel like.
But New York Magazine did a big story. Maybe that was 2014. New York Magazine did a big story. Vogue did a big story and rounded up all the best of the indie magazine. So there definitely was a boom, but you got in a little bit before that.
No, I think they're always booming. Just people decide to write about them. Because I feel like when I did my first magazine, there was like... Yeah, print was huge.
So I would say, what year was that?
2004.
Me Magazine, which was Claudia's very first magazine that she did all by herself, was super ahead. You were very ahead of your time.
Yeah, no, that. I don't think you were in a boom. I think you were just standing alone, like, strongly.
Oh, I remember I used to, like, collect magazines back then, and then I was like, why don't I just do one myself?
You're a magazine nerd, though.
Yeah, I'm a
magazine
nerd.
You
can't
be counted.
Yeah, that's true.
So did you have a whole team that helped you with this? Because as we know, it takes a village.
It does take a village. I have a great editor. Her name is Abby Churchill, and she is definitely the backbone to Wilder. For all the outdoor stuff, she is the person that does all the indoor stuff. If you want to know how to make anything from a rug to your own, like, eyeshadow, Abby can tell you. She's also an amazing cook, which I am not.
Huh.
We also have Molly. She is a wonderful horticultural editor. She's an actual woman living out on her own homestead. I know.
Where?
You should see their faces. You guys can't see their faces, but she's in upstate New York.
A homesteader.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully she's going to have a book coming out soon. She, you know, raises her own chickens, farms her own land, makes her own jam. Like, she is the real deal, too. So
tell her she has an open invitation when her book comes out, too.
I will.
I'm fascinated by homesteading.
She's incredibly tough, but also, like, the sweetest woman ever. I don't know how she's managing to do both, because I guarantee you right now she's, like, in upstate New York collecting firewood or something. It just is wow. impressive. And then there's me, and it's really just been the three of us making all these issues together.
And you've been very honest about your gardening abilities.
Yeah.
When I was in some of our conversations and then reading your book, you're very honest about all the plants you've killed.
Oh, my God.
Over yes. the years, the seedling massacres.
There's been quite a few. Molly's talked me off a few ledges. I feel like it's like cooking. I think we talked about it being like cooking. Like, you get to a certain point, and then you want a new skill, and you're going to fail a couple of times. Like, I can't imagine. I'm a terrible cook, but here's my example. Like, making a souffle, that can't be easy, right? You're going to fail at it a few times. I definitely have killed a lot of fruits. A lot of vegetables have died in my backyard. But I keep getting a little bit better as we go. And one day I'll be a master gardener, I hope.
Because I do think that's the thing that prevents people from having plants in their apartment or plants in their backyard.
Yeah.
There's a big fear factor, more so than with cooking, I think.
Why is that?
Well, I think everybody has to eat. So it behooves you to have a few basic cooking skills. Not everybody needs to garden.
Well, also, you're taking care of something, and if it dies on you, then it's a bit more tragic than just overcooking, you know, like a burger.
Yeah, you've
the
never...
The burger's already dead.
You clearly have never seen me cook anything. It's pretty tragic, my poor husband. I think that's totally fair. I think people start to feel personally responsible for the plant and so on and so forth. But, you know, plants die. It's kind of the nature of things. So if you can just accept that and keep rolling, you're fine. And people always compare themselves to their mothers or, like, their grandfather or someone that was just, like, an awesome gardener. And that's just not fair. You know what I mean? They have 40 years. By the time you paid attention, yes, they were bawling. But there were many years in there where they were killing
themselves. And different times. I mean, people had victory gardens.
And different times.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you don't have to grow anything if you don't want to. But I find that when people have plants in their house or they just grow herbs for what they're going to be cooking, they tend to be a little happier. Mm-hmm. Just saying. I have no statistical evidence, but people always remark on
it. I love my house plants.
You do,
and
right?
They do kind of have personalities.
They have little thoughts and feelings and things. How many do you have?
I have 4.
That's a lot. That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And they've all been alive for a while now, which makes me super happy.
Yeah, so you probably have them in the right light.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of plants die for reasons that have nothing to do with you. You have put them in the wrong place, and that's it. You know? Move them around. See if it makes a difference. I do that all the time.
It's like people. Not everybody's meant to live in New York City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not everybody's
I'm dying
supposed to be in direct sunlight.
Speaking
in
of which, you are leading a bi-coastal life.
I am.
These days.
Not for long. Not for that much longer.
It's almost over, which I'm psyched
So you're
about.
Making the big move to San Francisco.
I'm making the big move to Berkeley.
Nice. Right.
Yeah, I need some.
I love
Berkeley. Do you have a garden?
Yeah. I have a, there's like a side yard that I'm going to do. And then there's a whole front yard that I just checked and made sure that I could grow fruits and vegetables on.
Nice.
So
what are you going to
so
grow? It's my dream house, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to try for a little lemon tree. We had one of those in L.A.
Very
and
nice.
They're just so sunny and happy. And you can just go out and pick it right off. And there's nothing better than that.
Berkeley has that wonderful tradition of front gardens.
It does.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Berkeley is like the ultimate hippie zone, you know, and I think despite it being right across from a really massive, bustling city, they've done a good job of living the slow life. They really care about food. They really care about where their food comes from, and they make sure that everybody can indulge in that. So there's all sorts of community gardens. Everybody is doing front yard growing. The botanical gardens are out of sight. Like, I'm really excited to move from New York, which is heavily, heavily, heavily urbanized, to go to a place that's sort of slow and clean and green.
And
ooh,
houses,
I'm getting excited.
All the houses look like little hobbit houses, too.
They do. Yeah. You know, when we were looking for a place to live, I was like, they're all very cute. You know, I could take any of these. We did think about living in San Francisco for the briefest of moments, but I need the sun. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be cloudy all the time.
Do you have to commute to work, though?
I do. Yeah. And I commute now. It took me 40 minutes to get home yesterday from Soho to Clinton Hill. And so I was sitting on the subway thinking, well, my 40-minute commute from San Francisco to Berkeley, same thing, probably a little bit nicer. They've got Wi-Fi on the BART. I'm ready to go. Don't care.
And was your, you are a mom, and you have a, how old is she?
She's almost two, so she's got her own little personality going.
Was that a consideration in terms of where you live?
Yeah, when I got pregnant, we moved to LA because I just didn't want to be pregnant in New York City. It's just not the way that I wanted to do it. And this time we came back to New York, and I thought we were going to really enjoy it and that we would just go back to being New Yorkers. But there was something about having her, I don't know, I wanted her to like run around outside a little bit more. It took me a while to connect with nature, and I don't want her to have that same struggle. So if I can move her to a place where it's going to be easier for her to do that, then let's do that.
Wow. Does she help when you garden?
She does. She has her own little set of tools, and she's really good at harvesting. So she'll just pick things right out of the ground when it's time. She knows the difference between, you know, a green and a red and an orange and when something should be picked out. She's really adorable.
She is. How are you handling the bi-coastal thing?
Terribly. I fly every other week, and it's really painful. She doesn't care. My two-year-old is like, Mommy? Oh, she's not here. I'll play with Daddy. But I really care. I miss her. And I wish that my body could just, like, get used to a time zone. I constantly feel like I'm out of whack. So I'm super excited to just do it the other way. I spend 75% of the time in California and 25% here. It's going to be good. Come and visit.
Oh, gosh. You don't have to say that twice.
We'll be on the next plane.
Do you know Alice Waters yet?
Oh, I'm working on it. We tried to get her.
We can help. We're like this with Alice.
Are you right? Really?
No, I mean, we know Alice. We respect Alice immensely.
We
have some friends in her organization. We can hook you guys
hook
up. Actually, we do have a really good friend, Christina, who works for her, who worked at Lucky Magazine, who's another she's a magazine girl.
Yeah.
At the core, but we'll introduce you guys. You'll like each other.
And love her.
She has a little girl too.
So. I have tried to get Alice Waters, and I don't know how many of our issues. And like one was timing, and it didn't work out. You know, like we've gotten so close, and it never happened. So that would be like an ultimate meet. You know how there's people you just gotta meet.
It has to be hard though. Alice is like at the top of everybody's list.
I mean, I also want to meet Beyonce, but that doesn't mean I'm going to give up, you know?
How? I mean, that video.
I mean, it's everything.
I had tears in my eyes by the end of it. My boyfriend was like, are you crying? I was like, it's a tremendous video.
It's a tremendous moment for her. I think every black girl I know is like, way to go, bae. Way to like say it all and like own it all. She's such a beacon for the black girl community that like... I'm just so proud of her.
I mean, that was definitely her most political video to date, I would have to say.
For sure. The most overtly political.
Yeah.
But it's time. You know, she can't stand on the sidelines of this one, for sure.
There's a fantastic companion piece. I'm trying to find the name of the writer because I want to give her credit for it. There's a great piece in Eater, I think it was published yesterday, that explains the food references in it. And, you know, I was talking to a food writer who was like, oh, I want to do a piece on all the food references in the Beyonce video. And I was like, I don't think you do. we're not talking like food references in the same way, like Aziz Ansari had lots of food references in his. I was like, this is food standing in for other things.
Yes. That was good advice.
I was like, tread carefully if you're going to do that story, because I don't think you're the right person to do that
story. I want to read the one that's on Eater
You two talk. Let me find that story.
Because
I might be the only person in the world who has not seen the video.
Oh.
But I do know that she talks about hot sauce in her pocket and Red Lobster.
Yeah. These are all things that get a mention. You should definitely see it.
Yeah.
The visuals mean so much to the song. She did a really good job of marrying it all together.
Yeah.
The food that is mentioned in there is all rich with cultural meaning. Mm-hmm. And so, brilliant advice, because that would have been a disaster for that writer.
The writer who did do it properly, as far as I'm concerned, her name is Mickey Kendall, and the piece is an Eater. So I really suggest that you, if you haven't seen the video, watch the video and then read this piece, because it's a great companion piece to understanding the references.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
And the deeper meaning behind them.
It's just an amazing thing that Beyonce did, and I will totally read this girl's article.
And then the performance, I mean, poor Coldplay was like, step to the side.
I mean, if you ask Bruno Mars and Beyonce to help you out, like, you know you're going to be playing third fiddle there. Like, he knew what he was in for. He knew he
you
couldn't
think?
Carry... he couldn't carry the Super Bowl. He knew it. He called in his backup crew. They just took over.
I mean, I don't know how much of a backup crew Beyonce is. It's sort of like...
I would love to have been in that conversation where he was was like, you know what? I think I need some support. Like, call somebody else then, man.
Oof.
Both them, Beyonce and Bruno, really turned it out. It was great. And
they really did.
Sort of Malcolm X-y / Michael Jackson tribute outfit. Did you see the Super Bowl?
I did. I did watch that.
Yeah. The girl's amazing.
The hair.
The hair, the look, the attitude, the voice, the everything Beyonce is certainly amazing. And certainly then, the world's best entertainer right now.
And then all those dum-dums that weighed in on it. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, just please.
What did he say?
He's not even running for president.
I know.
Why say anything?
I know, because he can't help himself.
What did he say?
There was a quote. He was like, she's shaming the police.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, like as if that was any part of anything that she was saying. I mean,
there's a really powerful part of the video that kind of deals with that.
But it's just about pride. Mm-hmm. You know, it has nothing to do with saying that the cops are bad or turning it into a whole issue about police brutality. Like, I feel like Rudy has a book coming out or something and felt like he needed to be relevant for a second because...
It's shocking he didn't run for president because everybody did.
I know. What is going on?
What would one more person matter?
What is going on? You know what? I feel like if you guys want to do something, can you please call Hillary Clinton?
Well, we Claudia and I talked about that before the show. We're going to try to get some of the candidates to call in and talk to us.
Please.
Are you endorsing Hillary?
I am not endorsing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to for all the reasons that, you know, she's a woman and she's done her time and she's super experienced and all of these wonderful things. I am just waiting for her to have a dream and tell me what it is and tell me where we're going and why we should go there and what the future is going to look like. And she, unfortunately, doesn't do any of those things. She's just like...
She's playing catch up a little bit.
I love them both.
Yeah, they both have their strong suits.
I just outed myself clearly as a Democrat, but I do love them both. I mean, I think Democrats are a little different than some Republicans. I mean, I'm generalizing here in that it's not like this person or I'm not voting or this person or forget it. I think if one of the candidates doesn't wind up being the chosen one, then you vote for the other one.
So if you had to choose right now, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to put you on the spot.
You know what? I am so honestly torn 50-50. I hear a lot of people say this and I feel this way. In my head, it's Hillary. In my heart, it's Bernie.
That's her problem.
Yeah. I have watched all the debates. I'm a bit of a political junkie, so I've watched all the Republican debates and all the Democratic ones. And I they both have great things to say. But I do want... You know, you're a mom and a feeling human being, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm just tired of all the war. I'm tired of all the war. I'm tired of money being spent on the military and not on education and children and jobs programs. And I just, you know, I want to see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is I think that a lot of people on both sides of the aisle want to see that happen. And they're coalescing around people they think are going to do that. So, like, you know, Trump is the only Republican candidate who does not want to spend more on the military, which is such a weird thing. But he's amassed a bunch of people that also are like, I'm tired of war and I don't want the military. I just can't believe there isn't a candidate that can do all of the things and speak to everybody.
Right.
I mean, I know that we live in a polarized, deeply polarized country, but... It depresses me.
But it also reminds me of when Obama was running and, you know, there was so much hope. And then people were so disappointed when he didn't come through on all his campaign promises. There's like a disconnect between what you say when you're running and what you can actually enact when you get the job.
I don't know if I would say he didn't come through on his campaign promises.
So many people.
I think he was
so many people
stuck
were
with such
so
an awful
Well, that's
Congress.
What I'm saying. You can say whatever you want when you're running.
Like Donald Trump does.
And then like Bernie.
But then once you get into office, there are limitations that you run into.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think I need someone to have some really strong values and dreams because I know that you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
So that if you end up compromising, I know that you meant to do X or I know that you're still going to try and get to Y. You know, Obama did have some really lofty ideas and he made some traction to them and continues to keep like plodding along, like scratching for dirt to get there. And I just want to know that my person is going to do that.
I love Obama.
I love Obama.
I love Michelle. Yeah. I can't wait to see what their post-presidency holds.
I hope he takes a nap. He looks so tired and like old, you know.
Well, they usually kind of check out for 4 years out of respect to the next president. The previous president always goes quiet.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So he'll get his nap. He can go to Hawaii and chill. I love them. But it will be really interesting to see. He's so young.
Yeah.
Michelle's so young.
Yeah.
You know, it means a whole different thing today to be the first lady and what your post first lady thing means.
Right.
So fascinating.
I don't know what she's going to do. You know, I haven't really thought about her lately. So much is going on. But it will be interesting to see what she decides to do next or what they decide to do next.
It's just the potential. I mean, Michelle Obama is not Hillary Clinton, but the thought that Michelle Obama could one day run for president is so deeply thrilling. Come on.
Dynasties. Can we just stop the dynasties, though? Like, it's just a
well,
lot.
It doesn't seem to be working for them right now. So,
no, it's like royalty. You know, they never really leave office. I don't know. Did you see Bill's like tirade against Bernie?
I missed that.
So you gave me the Eater article. You should find the clip of his like soliloquy against Bernie. It was.
You know where Bernie had breakfast yesterday, right?
He had breakfast with Al Sharpton. Yes?
Sylvia's.
Yeah. Oh, it's Sylvia. Yeah. Oh, well, of course he did.
Pretty funny, right?
I mean, it makes sense. Whoever his campaign manager is clearly is like, okay, now it's time. Black people, let's do it.
He was in the March on Washington, though.
Yeah, but everybody was in the March on Washington. Like, good for you. Well, you stood on the right side of justice there. Good.
I hate to say this, but I don't think anybody from my family was
fair
in the March on Washington.
You know, I can't applaud him for doing the right thing. Like, that was the time period, and I'm glad that you were out there, but that does not mean that you get what I'm going through.
Okay.
You know? So, my problem with Bernie isn't how well he knows black people, actually, which I know is a concern for many people. It's more the lofty situation. Like,
yeah.
Can he compromise?
I don't know.
I mean, that healthcare situation he's talking about, that ain't ever going to happen. So what's the backup plan there?
Yeah. Well, that is it's all people are talking about right now, Bernie's relationship to the black community.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear it a lot over the next. I mean, this, by the time everybody hears this, some of the primaries will be over.
Mm.
But South Carolina, I mean, they're just going to talk about that. Nonstop.
Endlessly. I can't wait to see what he's going to say. He definitely has to show me that he gets it on some level. Interestingly, the Republicans, who I don't even, I'm outing myself as a Democrat, who I don't even mess with because I just think none of them care. The closest to me is Jeb Bush, and Jeb has other issues. So if a Republican comes into office, I'm very, very worried that all of the Black Lives Matters and all of these other ecological advances we made, all the stuff that we've done with the EPA and all these things are just going to slide backwards.
God, I hope not.
Oh, me too. Maybe they won't get it done.
Well, maybe when Obama leaves, like other presidents, he'll just make a lot of land national monuments. They tend to do that when they're leaving office.
We need more.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of available land for people to just enjoy is shrinking. So it'd be great if someone would just be like, okay, more national parks. There you go.
All right. We have to take a quick station break. But when we come back, we are going to talk about the things that Celestine came here to talk about.
Oh, sorry.
Reddit. No, our fault too. Reddit.
Yeah.
And her new book, A Wilder Life. Talk to you in a minute. Do you love chocolate? Turn your passion into a profession with École Chocolat School of Chocolate Arts. This award-winning school offers many programs for chocolate making so you can master techniques and gain the expertise and business knowledge you need to become a professional chocolate maker. You'll create mouth-watering chocolate recipes from professional instructors while interacting with your classmates and tutors all online. Become a chocolate expert with École Chocolat via your computer, phone, or tablet. Pursue your passion for chocolate. visit ecolechocolat.com today.
Welcome back to the second half of Radio Cherry Bomb. We're here with Celestine Maddie, and we have a copy of her book that we are actually going to do a giveaway, so we'll post about it later. But it's out now. It's called A Wilder Life, and I think I described it as everything you need to know to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Yes! That's awesome.
It's just great. I mean, it's great. It's everything I want to be, you know, being living in the city. It's everything I aspire to, basically.
You need to explain the zombie apocalypse thing, though. You said that to me on the subway, and my first reaction was like, what? It's a beautiful book. What do you mean zombies? So
when civilization ends and all our urban comforts disappear, this is exactly what you need to survive in the wild.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm a big nerd, so that's like the best thing I've ever heard. We have like a go plan in my house. Like, I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse. I want you to know that.
Can you like navigate by the stars?
I can.
In the book. It's a chapter in the book.
My father-in-law taught me. He used to be the head of the National Parks Foundation, so he has all sorts of wildlife skills that I don't have.
Oh, wow. You married into the right family.
I did. And now he runs the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which is also a huge boon because we get to like pet giraffes and stuff.
Wow.
I know. I'm very lucky.
So tell us about your co-author. You worked on this with Abby.
Abby is the last Renaissance woman, I'm telling you. She is currently getting her MFA, which is another wonderful thing that she's doing. So she's halfway between artist and like maker. She has her first skincare line coming out soon, which is really impressive. I just love her. She embodies all of the like home qualities I wish that I had. You know, she can figure out how to best heat a room by the sun. Like, hello?
That's crazy.
What? I don't know. She came to my house and was like, you should really move that. And I was like, it's okay. She can make just about anything that you want to eat. She can make candles. She can make soup. She can make, you know, a rug for you.
Has she been on Survivor?
You know what? I think that she would do very well.
Good press. It would be good press for the book. You'd sell a few copies.
I know.
And she could win $1 million.
Yeah. She's actually working on a book about places to go in the world that are like rich ecologically and that are sort of unexplored, like wonderful places to be yourself in nature. So I'm excited about that.
How is the book A Wilder Life different from the magazine?
The magazine is really an inspirational thing. It takes you beyond what you think of as nature. So we go into people's homes, we go into the world at large and try and showcase really inspirational, wonderful, beautiful experiences. This book is super tactical. So it's like, this is how you get this stuff done. Like, this is how you grow this thing. And this is how you don't get lost. All the sort of practical things you need to survive in nature or just enjoy it just a little bit more. I don't actually expect anybody to like do everything in the book, but hopefully every once in a while you pick it up and you're like, I'm going to try this today. I'm going to see what happens.
And it's a super pretty cover.
It is. Krista is the photographer who shot it is amazing. I'm trying to remember her Instagram off the top of my head, which I can't, which is such a shame because she is literally the best nature photographer.
We'll post it.
Oh, I will give it to you.
Yes.
All of her stuff. Her Instagram is gorgeous.
What are those pink flowers on the cover?
Don't ask me that because I don't know.
Sorry.
No, I do know. They used to grow in my yard when I was a kid.
They're not carnations.
No. They're
my guess, carnations.
My mother's gonna kill me.
We'll post it too. We'll put Celestine on the spot.
I want to say it's a magnolia, but I'm wrong. It's a cherry blossom.
Oh, it is a cherry blossom.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I thought it might be a cherry blossom.
Oh my gosh! Thank God, so my mom isn't gonna be mad at me somewhere.
Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful
it's
cover.
Gorgeous. And the book is gorgeous. And most of the indoor shots were shot by Claire Cottrell. She owns a small book press, which is another magazine girl. She lives in LA and she prints small like runs of really beautiful books. I love her too. They're all great. Everybody was great that worked on that book. It was fun. You guys should have a book.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's a dream. A nightmare, actually, that I have.
Claudia's cold and cranky today.
It is like 10 degrees,
though. You need some chocolate. Okay, now we have to talk about Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
So...
love it.
When did you start this job? How did you get this job?
Yeah, I've been a Redditor for about 9 years.
A Redditor?
Yeah. So have you...
New term.
Let me just take you into my world. So I had met one of the co-founders, Alexis, just doing other things, consulting on businesses and things like that. And we just stayed in touch. And they released a book recently that I curated for them because I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next.
Because you didn't have enough to do.
Right. But if, you know, Reddit asks you to curate a book, you kind of do it. And it's a big book of their best AMAs, Ask Me Anything. So it includes Barack Obama. It includes Rand Paul. It includes Waffle House grill makers. It's all of these people where you can ask them any question and they answer. So I was putting that together, and he asked me some other questions about the marketing department and what was going on. And I ended up saying, in true fashion, I really want this job. Is this a job that I can have? Can we formalize this? And they were looking for somebody, apropos, and I got the job. I'm super thrilled. It's one of my favorite things on the internet. It should be everybody's favorite thing on the internet.
So what does it mean to be the head of marketing for Reddit?
It means that I am going to spend a lot of time thinking about the brand and trying to get people to understand what it is. One of the big questions is, what is Reddit? It's super challenging to explain to anybody that isn't of the internet what it can do for you. But I think I take that as a great challenge because there's so many things on Reddit. It's hard to condense it. So we haven't gotten there yet, but I like to say that like you can find any piece of content or any community on Reddit. People that are breaking up have their own community. Food has its own community. Video games has its own community. People that really like mildly interesting photos has its own community. Mildly interesting is amazing. Go to our mildly interesting. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of communities of people sharing their ideas and their cultures and their personal struggles online. Like, you can find anything, any emotion.
Indie magazine publishers?
You know what? I started a subreddit for them, but no one joined me a couple years ago.
We'll have to join.
It's because you're all working.
Yeah, exactly. They're all working and they have their heads in printed matter.
Yeah, I still want to create like a magazine coalition. I say this all the time. And if I ever had a free moment, I would do it. Someone do that. Someone
it's so funny. We talked about that too with, I forget who we talked about that with, but I think that's the thing. If you have an indie magazine, it's very rarely your only thing.
Yeah.
So
it's tough.
Getting together to talk about indie magazines is really not at the top
Absolutely.
Of your list.
Could you imagine any other industry where the thing that you really love is like the side thing? Like no one's a chef part time. Like no one, right? Like no one's a chef and has another full time job.
Well, you know who did? Nathan Myhrvold. From Modernist Cuisine, but I think Nathan's also...
Nathan's a special case. And he staged, you know, I think like once a week or something.
Ah, see.
He was the chief technology officer at Microsoft.
See, us tech people, we're always looking for something to get your hands
dirty.
You always
got that side
hustle. Get your hands dirty. Yeah, we're all hustlers and you want to just find something that's more tactical to balance yourself out.
It's true.
So you told... I did not know this, but all the memes that have come out of Reddit.
Oh, yeah. So
the most famous being...
Grumpy Cat. The great thing about Reddit is people are creating content all of the time. So at any given moment, there's like a funny picture that is going to go viral in 10 seconds. And everybody comes to Reddit to find that next great thing. So something that you see on BuzzFeed or Mashable or Gawker or any site probably came from some Redditor who was like at home and just decided to Photoshop something together and like make a funny quip about it. The Reddit community is amazing. It's 202 million unique users a month. So people are really in there like making songs, making art, you know, trying to make you laugh, trying to make you feel better. It's all of humanity. So there's a good side where everybody's being friends. And then there's another side where people are saying how they really feel, which isn't always awesome.
Can I ask what the business model of Reddit is? Because I recently learned that Amazon has not made a profit until recently.
Okay, but Amazon is like a long lead business. Do we want to get into this?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the clock and I think it's,
I think
it's time for the speed round questions. And I don't know if that counts as a speed round question.
We can talk about it later over some pizza.
So that said, I'm going to hand you over to Claudia, and she's to subject you to the speed round.
I'm nervous.
Okay, super fast.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
How do you take it?
With a half and half.
What's in your refrigerator right now?
Oh, leftovers, ginger ale, and Häagen-Dazs chocolate bars.
What foods are you craving these days?
Pasta.
Is there anything you won't eat?
No. Oh, no, that's entirely untrue. There's a myriad of things that I won't eat. I don't like broths around meat. That's definitely a thing that so never random. Serve me broth around meat. I'm not going to eat it.
What's your favorite drink?
Bee's knees.
Is that a drink or a sauce?
No, the bee's knees. It's got gin, some honey.
Oh, it's a cocktail.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm thinking about the honey company. There's a honey company.
Anyway, describe the cocktail. What's in it?
It's gin, honey, and I don't know, maybe some like lemon splash stuff. It's like the most simple drink. It's delicious.
Sounds like a cold hot toddy.
Yeah, kind of.
Favorite kitchen tool.
Did I mention that I don't really cook? The toaster?
Favorite gardening
seamless,
tool.
Seamless is her favorite
tool. Right, like really, try caviar all day.
All right, favorite gardening tool?
A spade.
What's your dream pet project?
Oh, God, I did it. It was the magazine. You know what it is? I take that back. I would make comic books next. I would definitely...
Are you an illustrator?
No, but I know a bunch. But I would definitely do an imprint of comic books for women.
Fun.
Absolutely. Anybody want to pay for that, call me.
That's smart. You get someone to pay for it first and then do it.
I have learned my lesson.
Yes. Where do you want to travel to next?
I really want to go to Thailand and visit a friend of mine.
That'd be amazing. Nice. And do yoga on the beach?
Yeah. She's... Well, maybe I'll just watch her do yoga on the beach.
Well, that's it.
Thailand sounds dreamy.
It does.
Especially right now. It's going to be like 14 degrees this weekend. Oh sorry, God. Sorry. Stop. I won't say it. So Celestine Maddie, her new book is A Wilder Life. Definitely go pick it up at your favorite indie bookstore. We also, this is really sad, but we need to say goodbye to our engineer, Liz Smith. Her last day is
Valentine's Day.
It's going to be the worst Valentine's Day ever.
Valentine's Day breakup.
Yeah. Liz, do you want to say hi and bye to our audience?
Well, it's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot. I've laughed a lot.
With you.
It's been wonderful, and I can't thank you enough for just being such great hosts, bringing the best people in the studio.
That's for sure. We have the best guests by far. But Liz, thanks. You've been awesome. You know, you've walked us through this radio thing, and we really appreciate it. You've taken great care of the show and of our guests, and we just wish you all the best next gig.
She's going to Bloomberg, so you can catch her there. She's producing a new show, so stay tuned.
Bye, Liz.
Bye, guys.
All right. So big chocolate kisses to our sponsor, Ecole Chocolat. Check out all the different classes they offer at ecolechocolat.com. If chocolate is your passion, you just might want to make it your profession. And thank you for listening.
Bye.
You're the bomb.
Hi, I'm Samantha Bolton, and I'm the food blogger at North Dixie Kitchen. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Nancy Silverton, because life should be all about grilled cheese nights.